Australia is condemned in the report for its dangerous refugee policies of offshore processing, mandatory detention and boat pushbacks, and soaring Indigenous imprisonment rates. We're heading into an election year, and as the government steps up its bid for a United Nations Human Rights Council seat, we feel that now is the time to show the human rights leadership that the world needs.
And obviously you use this report as a guide to what you need to work on throughout the year, and a lot of the things that's coming through that I notice that Amnesty International are heavily involved in is the rights of children incarcerated, and also the issues of the overrepresentation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in prison. Can you talk a bit about, I guess, the needs of the community regarding this?
So Amnesty International sees the over-incarceration rates and the overrepresentation of Indigenous people in custody and in the justice system as one of Australia's most pressing human rights issues. And we need to do something about it now. So particularly this year, as we lead up to the 25-year anniversary of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, we're seeing that a lot of those recommendations that were made many years ago have not been implemented, and actually the situation has gotten worse. The overrepresentation has gotten worse in the last 25 years, and this is not acceptable. The other solutions that Amnesty International would like to see are Indigenous-led diversionary programs, which are culturally appropriate. So we've been talking to communities in WA and in Queensland who are taking kids back out onto country, and they're connecting them with knowledge from their elders, passed down through generations. They're connecting them back with their country and with their culture, whether it be through dance or through the arts or through connecting them with cultural tourism that's happening in their country. And what we're hearing from young people who are going through these culturally appropriate programs is that it gives them a sense of belonging and a strength inside themselves to help them face the challenges that they're facing in their lives and turn things around for them.
Yeah. I noticed with the Closing the Gap delivery from the Prime Minister, there was no mention of justice reinvestment when he did talk about incarceration. And I know that the Change the Record Coalition have released the blueprint for change. So all the work's been done to look to address this crisis that we're in with incarceration. And, you know, they have brought that through Parliament. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the Prime Minister's actually even really had a look at this. And I'm hoping to see this year that this blueprint for change is actually really implemented to start looking at justice reinvestment and diversionary, because the work's been done, they've got the solutions, and Amnesty International has been a very big part of that.
We've been working closely with the Change the Record Coalition on developing the blueprint, and I agree with you. I think that the sooner that we can get that blueprint taken up by governments on a national and state and territory level, the faster we're going to see some real changes in reducing the overrepresentation for Indigenous people in the justice system. There's other legislative changes that need to be made as well, though. We're still at a point in our states and territories where there's legislation being passed by governments which actually makes the situation worse for the rates of over-incarceration of Indigenous people. For example, mandatory sentencing in Western Australia. There's no evidence that mandatory sentencing for burglary offences actually reduces crime, but we do know that it does breach our international human rights obligations and that it's likely to have a disproportionate impact on Indigenous people. And further, in Northern Territory, we've seen the paperless arrest laws that have been introduced, which also are likely to have a disproportionate impact on Indigenous people. And there was the tragic case of Kumanjayi Langdon, who tragically passed in police custody after he was arrested under the paperless arrest laws for drinking in an unregulated area. The coroner's report in that case was scathing about the laws and about the impact that these laws have on our mob. And Amnesty International is firmly of the view that these paperless arrest laws need to be repealed as soon as possible.
There are issues with, obviously, closing the gap and health and well-being, and also the criminalisation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. You know, for some young people, it starts very early and it's basically something that end up being born with.
Yeah, I think that you can't look at these issues about justice or health or education or what's happening with families or employment or substance abuse or cognitive impairment. None of these issues can be dealt with in isolation because they all are connected. We know that, you know, when young people are less likely to be at school, or if they're having issues with substance abuse or mental health, they're more likely to end up in the justice system. And we're in a position in Australia where young Indigenous children are less likely to complete their high school education than they are to end up in prison. And that's a completely unacceptable situation. But we need to look at what's happening in communities and with Indigenous people from a health and well-being perspective as well. We need to look at things like family violence and what our young women are going through. So Amnesty International is of the view that we need to address all of these issues, and that's why we're saying that justice targets should be added into the close the gap targets on a national level, so that all of these issues can be dealt with in a holistic way.